You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Yeah, good morning. So let me just quickly introduce myself for those who don't know me. My name is Jelle. I'm married to Beth. Beth is my wife. You might have seen her more often on the screen. She does the announcements sometimes. The lady with the Scottish accent. Yes, because she's from Scotland, so that makes sense, right? So we've been part of Crossroads the last 8 years. And it's been great. I still remember the first time we came here, and I won't tell that story because if I get into storytelling, then I shouldn't preach. But we've been part of Crossroads 8 years. We have two sons, Judah and Kai. In daily life, I'm a teacher at a high school here in Amsterdam, and I've been studying theology part-time next to my job for the last 5 years, and hopefully finish off somehow this year. I hope so. And I've been able to preach once in a while in different churches. And a couple of months ago, Paul asked me to preach in Crossroads. So it's a big privilege. Thank you for allowing me so far. So let's just dive right into it. So this morning, I want to talk about a certain topic. And let me just say this because there's so much to say about it. But I want to start with this because for myself, when I was younger in my faith, I felt quite often that the Bible contradicted itself, quite often. And it had to do also maybe with certain images of illustrations I would see in the Bible. And what I've learned is that those illustrations, because you see multiple illustrations in the Bible, they gave all an aspect of what it is to be a Christian or how to live the Christian life. But all those illustrations give, certain elements of that. So together they convey the whole idea of how to live the Christian life and what it is, this process of sanctification. But often these illustrations, they point out to a specific type of themes. And I just mention that here because maybe after the sermon you're thinking, yeah, well, what you're sharing, is that fully true because also this or that, right? That idea about God is love and God is a judge. It's both true, and it can be both true, but it sometimes feels like it's contradicting. So to give you an example, in the Bible, we have this example of us being compared to sheep and God being the shepherd, the good shepherd leading us into green pastures, and he's protecting us. Now, if you look at sheep, if you think of sheep, they're very, they're dependable and they're very vulnerable. But at the same time, we're also portrayed as soldiers. So you have this illustration of us being soldiers. We have to fight a battle, and we have to be courageous, and we have to put out on our armor, right? And they're quite different pictures because we're vulnerable and we need protection, but at the same time, we're asked to go into battle and to follow Jesus and him being the Lord of hosts. Now, you have an example of us being the body of Christ, that we all have different elements, the one is the hand and the other is the feet, and we need each other. We have the example of us being disciples, so we are followers of Jesus. We need to learn, we need to be students, we need to sit at his feet, and he is the teacher who will teach us. We have the example of God being the Father, the good Father, which we need to obey, but he also loves us. But as his family and his children, we all have different tasks. And so you have different pictures, and they all show and say something about who God is and how to live the Christian life. And together, you get the fuller picture. So one illustration which is shown more often in the Bible as well is the illustration of us running a race, an illustration of us being athletes, and the Christian life of us being athletes. And I don't know why. I think Beth might have mentioned, Yella, why don't you preach about that? I'm a teacher, but I'm a sport teacher. So for me, sports has always been a big part of my life. If I don't sport for a week, I feel like something is missing. So I don't know why I've not preached about it before because it does relate. Maybe I thought it was too easy or something. But this illustration is given multiple times in the Bible of we having to run a race. And I think also one of the reasons why there's different illustrations given is because it applies to different people. Right, also the parables Jesus gives speaking to different crowds, applying to different people, talking about fishermen or farmers, it will speak to farmers, right, more. So the illustration of athletes, for those, I think it's a message for all of us, I know. But if you're into sports, I don't know how fit Crossroads is. We can do a little survey, but it will take a little bit of time. But I would be interested to know in what kind of sports you guys are doing. But I think it might speak to you even more because you can relate in a certain way, as it does to me. So what I want to do is I want to read two scriptures, and the last scripture will go a bit more in depth, but I will take on more of those scriptures in the Bible throughout the preaching, but I want to read two of those together. So the first scripture is from the Hebrews, and it's the first three verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The second passage is from the first letter to the Corinthians, from verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we will do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Now I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. Yes, it's the Bible, God's word. Now, to give a little bit of context in the last passage about the Corinthians 9, the chapter, what Paul basically does is he explains in detail all the sacrifices he makes for living the Christian life. For example, and like basically all denying all the rights he has and referring him to the Old Testament, saying that the other apostles, they were paid for what they did, right? Like the worker is worth his wages. But also referring to back in the days, like the priests and Levites, they would be foreseen in their livelihood by what the Israelites would give. That would be normal. But he didn't take any money. He did it all voluntarily, unpaid, and he just gave everything. He lived his life, and he says, I didn't take my family. He most probably didn't have a wife, but he maybe referred to his companions. None of them take their family, even though the other apostles did take their family, but he didn't do that. And he explains why, because he didn't want anybody to think that he was doing it for himself, for his own benefits, to be a prosperity preacher, you know, which we hear these days quite often. Like, he didn't want anybody to hold that against him. So he said, I'd rather do it unpaid and foresee my own livelihood just to make sure that nobody can say you do it for your own fame or for your own money. And at the same time, he's describing how he adapts himself. And I work in a specific school, I won't mention where, and I've always told myself I really want to adapt to this culture. But it's very hard to really adapt to a culture which is really quite different. And I noticed that even in my own neighborhood, which is very multicultural, you know, we have Muslim neighbors, and I want to be, you know, respectful of them, and I am. But it's also like I'm also who I am, you know. I'm not like, for example, like I like it if it's warm, just to walk without a shirt in the garden. But then I think, well, maybe the neighbors see, and that's not appropriate for their culture. So, but I notice if you really adapt your whole life to as much as possible, that's a very big sacrifice, because you deny a lot of who you are and what you like and what you enjoy. And he is saying, I adapt myself to the Greek, I became a Greek, to the Jew, I became a Jew, under the law, etc. I became for the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. So he's doing all that for the gospel, just to share the gospel. He adapted himself, and he was very vulnerable in that sense. And he's explaining all that. And he had not a little bit of dedication, but he had full dedication. And we know from his life that the hardship he had to endure, he was beaten, he was scolded at, he was chased down by crowds from city to city. He was imprisoned, and most likely he was even beheaded and killed for the gospel. And he's explaining all that, and then he ends that chapter with this passage about the athlete and giving that illustration. And coming back to relating to those people, you know, he's writing to the Corinthians. In those times, he had the so-called Isthmian Games, which were held every 2 years, which after the Olympic Games, which we still know and we still have, they were the second most known and important games being held in the old Greek times. So they very much knew, they understood that, and they had this illustration of the athlete. And he's then sharing that, and he's explaining then. And he's putting basically himself as an example in how to live the Christian life and what he gave up, and also bringing in other Christians to ask them to follow him in that same way. If you want to follow Jesus, be like that athlete who's giving up and striving for the faith. And before I get a little bit in my structure, I would say the main message of this morning, what we need to be reminded of, is by what Paul is writing, is that the Christian life cannot be a passive following of Jesus. You cannot be a passive follower. That's impossible, right? If you're passive, you're standing, you're remaining where you right are. If you're following, you're following. You're making steps, you're making progress, you're going after. So you can't be a passive Christian. Then you're a spectator. We had a whole sermon series about, you know, being a fan, not a fan, but a follower. Well, that's what it is. You can't be a passive follower of Jesus. So to give a little bit of the structure, I would say from this passage and from the other text about running the race, there's three things I identified with what we could learn from, and I've called them the three P's of the Christian athlete. And the first P is purpose, participate, and persevere. So the first one is purpose. You could also say goal, but then it will be GPP, which, you know, people will get confused. So I just stick to the purpose, and then in brackets I have goal. But well, I think it's important. Well, first of all, and Paul talks about that, right? Not running aimlessly, not running like a headless chicken. So very clearly, you could say as an athlete, especially if you think at somebody in competing at those Olympic Games, the goal of those athletes dedicating their full life in the end is to win, right? And I think all of them want a desire to have that gold medal. That's what they're competing for, that's what they're training for, that's where their whole life is surrounded about winning that prize. And in that process of training, you could say at least what they want is to grow, to get stronger, to get more fit, right? Or to finish the race. Whether, you know, if you're playing football, you're not going to stop at 80 minutes. You know, if you're standing 5-0 and you stop at 80 minutes, you get off the field, you're going to lose. You have to finish it. And you have to win, and you have to go for the prize. And if we don't have that, I think if you don't have a goal as an athlete, then you'll be very quickly demotivated. You're thinking, why would I do this? Why would I get out of bed and train and do all of this if you don't have a goal in mind, right? And what you want to go for. You would probably give up quicker, and you'll be less effective. And as Paul is saying already, you know, he's not like a boxer beating the air. He knows what he wants to. He has a target which he wants to hit. And he's just not running another direction, but he's not running straight after his goal. He's knowing what he's going for. A week ago, I went cycling with a colleague who, I love a lot of sports, but I have to be honest, endurance sports are not my favorite. I think they're quite boring. But that's basically what the topic is about, so I have to pretend it's very exciting. But I went cycling. I have a colleague, and he's into road cycling, and he always asks, Jelle, come and join me. And normally I have the excuse, it's Sundays, now I have to go to church. It's more important. No, otherwise I would like to join him. But he said, so I thought this case I would join him for a week. But, you know, I'm not unfit, but cycling is not the thing I do as much. And knowing going into France, having to cycle those mountains, you know, a la Tour de France, I knew I had to train a little bit. So the last weeks before I went cycling. We live in Maarsen next to Utrecht, cycling to Amsterdam, so that's like 35, 45 kilometers. just at least to train a little bit. If I wouldn't have done that, if I wouldn't have had the goal of knowing I would go there in a week, you know, because I didn't enjoy it as much. But I would do it to train. So the moment we forget as Christians, and I could say what our goal is and what we're living for, what we're called to, you quite easily can get distracted. And you do your own thing and you stop it, right? If you forget about all of that, it's quite easily to be demotivated, distracted, and do something else. And as Paul is very clearly already saying, you know, those athletes, he's comparing them, so it's not a team of glorifying sports, not at all. He's saying, you know, they do it for this earthly, this perishable crown. You know, they give it all for this perishable crown. So for us as Christians, he's saying, we shouldn't do it for this perishable crown. We shouldn't being like focused on the earth and the golden medals we can get here and the success we can get here and the most of money we can make and the best paid job and the best career and the most degrees. We can take all of that, you know. And I'm not saying that they're all bad by itself, but Paul's very clearly saying they do it for those, for the approval right now and for the success right now. But we do it for the imperishable crown. And the fact is, if we believe the Bible and believe this to be true, and we even sang it, we will stand before God, all of us. If we're Christian, and I also want to say that, and this passage isn't so much, I believe, about not being saved or not saved. No, as a Christian, we will stand before God, and there won't be any seer of sin appearing. We won't be judged by our sin, because Jesus paid that price. It's a free gift, right? But there will be a judgment of how we lived our lives. We will be judged on what we did with our time and resources, what we did here on earth, you know? And we have a friend, and it always stays in my mind, because he says, Yellow Bat, the thing I want the most, and I also sense a little bit of fear in that, is that when I stand before Jesus, that he won't be saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's the price what he's talking about. And we read about this imperishable crown. In other parts of the Bible, it's called the crown of righteousness, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5, verse 4. The crown of life, James 1, 12. And we will stand before him, and Jesus will look at us and hopefully give us that prize. And that prize, I believe, is for those who longed, and as it says, for who is that prize? For those who longed for Jesus' return and loved him. And he will give that prize. And we know that story, right, of that man who gave his servant his talents, and then he comes back. And he asks, what did you do with those talents and time? So I don't know exactly how it's going to look like, but I do believe in my heart fully that is a very defining moment, and that in the end, to be honored before him, to stand before Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, if we believe that, you want to hear that from him, right? And there's something to aim for and something to be knowing. So for us is to keep the faith. You know, so that's the message of this morning, to keep the faith. But to keep the faith, what does it mean? It means like staying in relationship with him. You know, growing in our relationship with him, striving to know him more, not be too easily satisfied from this is okay how it is. You know, there's no retirement in the Christian faith. You don't read anything in the Bible about, okay, when you're 65, okay, then you've done your part in the church, and you can step down and you stop doing things. And I have to be honest, there's churches, I'm not going to just say here, but there's churches where I see too many older people, no offense, huh? Who sort of did their thing, they've been maybe into missions, and did this crazy stuff, and then sort of like, okay, now I've done my part, and I'm just going to be satisfied with how it is, and my relationship with God is okay, but not striving to keep on going. And I'm also missing maybe them to share that and to encourage the younger generation. I think there's too many people like my age standing on the stage, and I think there should be people of 65 and older, you know, sharing their journey and sharing how not easy it is, but sharing their wisdom, but also their passion. And I've done that more often, and I just saw in the glimpse of my eyes that she's sitting here, but one of those ladies, and there's more, Rose, see, you inspire me very much, and I'm involved with the Alpha, and Rose is there, and I love her to be here, and what I love is to see a lady who is in her 80s, but still have this so deep desire, heart for Jesus, you know, and to follow him. basically, and that's, yes. And I wish that for anybody. And it's, I'm not just speaking to the older generation, I'm speaking to all of us, including myself, to focus our eyes on that prize and knowing that this will be temporarily and that we are called to look heavenwards and look up to Jesus. Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. So the second part, the second P is participate. And as I mentioned already, not a fan, but a follower. When I'm, when I was taught to be a teacher in Groningen, I studied, I had a gymnastic teacher, and she always said, we had to do gymnastics, and we learned about the theory, and how do you make the movements, and what do you do with your body when you jump in a trampoline, what do you do next? So this whole, movement, basically. But she's, she explained very well, knowing that kennen is nog geen kunnen. So I don't know how to translate it properly, but knowing is not doing it yet, right? So as Christians, we can know a lot. I can stand right here, and that's why it always hits me when I have to preach, because I as Paul was writing, I'm not just preaching, but I don't want to be disqualified myself. So what does he do? He's saying, I'm putting it into practice myself. What I, teach what you preach. So we can quite easily become spectators, but we can also become a coach. We can be a pastor in church. We can preach on the stage. We can worship. We can do the children ministry, whatever we do. And we can, share our knowledge, but sort of step out of pursuing holiness with God and striving to know him deeper. And we can quite easily become like that. So it's always important to test. Okay, it's not about knowing, it's about doing. Are you still taking those steps of faith? Are you not indeed retired? Are you satisfied with how it is? Do you believe that there's more and more and God wants to grow you and take those last little, annoyances out of your life? Those struggles you've been struggling with your whole life, where you're like, that's too much. I don't want to open that little closet. I don't want to reconcile with that person. I don't want to talk to that family member. But we need to look at ourselves and like, are we still running the race? Are we participating? Or have we maybe stopped along the way? Have we become spectators? Which makes sense because people get hurt, especially also in church where you expect people to be, loving and graceful and cheer you on. It just doesn't happen. We also get hurt in church quite often, right? And then we can be discouraged and sort of step aside and like, I'm just going to watch, I'm just going to be, watching them. Maybe you're coming along with your partner because, it's just been a tradition and you're just sitting there for her or for him, or you want to go because you want your children to somehow have good morals, but you sort of step out. And Paul is very quite clear at that. I think there's many people who are signed up for a gym, but actually not going. Right, and the gym industry is very happy with those people because they're paying lots of money, So, and that's the same, It doesn't mean when you sign up for a football club that you're a soccer player. You actually have to move forward. Yeah, I need to look at the time, so that's why I'm sort of stopping. Yes, okay, let me just mention this. In Hebrews 12, When we read that, just come back to that very quickly. And it starts with, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So therefore, and those witnesses applies to the chapter before, chapter 11, where it talks about all the sort of heroes of faith, right? All the people who have gone before us, and not just the ones, from the Bible, which even clearly I mentioned, like David and Daniel and Noah and Abraham and Rahab, and the parents of Moses, all of them are mentioned. But you can also think of the Corrie ten Booms and the Christians who have gone before us and who have ran the race. Those people are witnessing us, and not so much that they're looking down from heaven, I believe, but they're more a witness to us by what is written about them and what we can learn from them. And when, for example, you feel like, well, I'm the only Christian in my workplace, or I'm struggling, nobody's as passionate as I am, what do you think of Noah? In his time, he was a very lonely guy. He was the only person who actually was righteous before God. And he did something ridiculous by what God asked him to do. So he must have felt lonely. So in that way, he is witnessing to us that he kept the faith and he did what God asked him to do. You know, and all of those examples are not like, oh, they were just beautiful people. No, they were, you know, their faith was shown by their actions. As James says, faith without actions is death. You know, that Noah built an ark, that Abraham went somewhere he didn't know where to go, that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, that Daniel said, I will keep worshiping God even though they will put me with the lions, and kept praying. That was what they were shown their faith by their action of what they did. So for us, it's the same. We need to look at our lives and think of, are we participating or are we actually spectating or being a coach? So the third one is persevere. And I would say maybe that's the topic of this morning. You know, the Greek word, hypomone, you could also say it is steadfast endurance. It's not a shortcut, right? An athlete is not going to train 2 weeks very hard and then do nothing for half a year. It's something you have to do continually to maintain. If you want to grow, if you want to get stronger, you have to keep going. You know, for those who are going to the gym, something you have to do. And I would say, you know, we schedule a lot of things. And I would say this is also something we might need to schedule, because it's not just about a feeling. Like, there's so often I don't feel like praying. But I have to tell myself, pray, because you need it. You know, you need to be connected to God, right? And then after I've done that, often it brings down this burden. But it's sometimes a struggle. So we need to schedule it. I need to maintain it. Because if I don't do it for a week, my week looks different. I'm more selfish and more focused on myself, doing more my own thing. So basically on a daily basis, I have to be connected. I have to be connected. And if I don't do that, I see the results. I see there's less fruit because I'm focused on myself. So it's not, if we sign up for this, or what we signed up for, running with Jesus, it's a thing, a lifelong thing, right? We have to commit our whole life. What it does involve, for sure, is hardship and struggle. The Christian life is not like that your life is all of a sudden like a little butterfly flying around. And I think you all know that. And the song we just sang that really touched me, like the desert storm, you know, because it can be very hard to sing, right? That when you're actually really in a very down time of your life, to sing that, you know, that God is there with you and he is good. But I would say, I think, and I like that a commentary wrote about the characteristic of this persevering. And the characteristic, that's a characteristic of a person who does not swerve from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith and godliness, even under the greatest trials and sufferings. And I think that's where it shows your faith. Like, the moment is tough, that you can keep on going. And like I said in the beginning, it's not about doing it all in your own strength. It's just a call to action. We have to pursue. We have to discipline ourselves. It's part of it. But of course, God is helping us to give us the Holy Spirit to energize, to help us with that. But we should expect struggle and sweat and tears, like an athlete. You know, an athlete, he dedicates his whole life. He submits his whole life to that one goal. You know, like training, sleeping, eating, it's all on purpose. And what he eats, he's very clear on what he eats and how much he needs to sleep, all of that. And there's lots of things he has to deny. You know, his social life, his time, he cannot eat whatever he likes. He has to be very disciplined. And he does that because he has his goal in mind. And for us, that's the same. It involves following Jesus. It means stepping out of your comfort zone. It means struggle. One thing I've learned for myself by going to the gym, and those going to the gym probably know that, is that you have to train to failure. You don't have to, but if you want the best results, even scientifically that's proven, you have to train to failure, which means that you come to this point that when you're doing an exercise, you know, I never finish my exercise like this. My last rep, when I do my last rep, and I don't go that often to the gym, but if I go, I know twice a week, I will go, like, my arms are like this. I look like an idiot in the gym. And sometimes I might be that person who's like shouting, you know, probably people think, well, is this idiot, you know, getting attention. But I'm really in pain. I'm really struggling in that moment. to train to failure and to make sure that I grow and make sure that, you know, that as we know, you know, you break down muscles. And then after that, after good rest and sleep and eating, you will grow. And it's interesting that it works like that, because I believe even in normal life, often the hardest times bring the most growth, right? When you're struggling the most, when there is time of, you know, when you're persecuted, when you're struggling and you push through that and you don't decide to give up on your faith and you stay faithful to God, when you're looking back to those times that were the most difficult, you have been growing the most. And that's how it works. And that's why we ask to push through those moments, to not to be too comfortable. And God is not angry when we, you know, I could say, yeah, God is not angry when we don't do that. But he wants us to come to a deeper understanding of who he is and who we are and what we're meant to be. And I see I have to start to round off, so that's why I'm getting a bit all over the place now. But
just relax, yes.
Yes, Jesus said, and you know, when Jesus says something, we have to listen. So if whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Jesus also said, you will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So we should expect and be aware, let's say like this, we should be aware and expecting hardship and struggle. And it can be a sign that we're on the right track. And I think it often is. And I can just say, and I've mentioned it before somewhere else, but when I would say me and my wife, we had the most horrible night of our lives of a very stupid decision I made around 7 years ago. That involved drugs. But what I experienced was, I've never experienced such a demonic thing. So let me also just say this very quickly, because there might be people here, I know, especially in the youth, it gets more and more normalized to take drugs when you go to a festival. I'm not judging you for that. But you're opening a door to the demonic world. I really believe that, 100%. So whenever you feel like, well, you know what, it's not that bad. I know, and I've experienced that, and that's the one thing I take away. There's more things, but there's one thing I take away from taking drugs. The demonic world is real, 100%. And that has shown me that very clearly. And that's the only thing I'm very grateful for of that journey. But that horrible night, I was very ashamed of what happened, because I was even involved in the Alpha course, which I've been involved in all those years. I love, by the way, please get involved if you want to know more. But I felt very ashamed because I was in a good place with Jesus. I loved him and I was just naive. I struggled with drugs before when I was younger, but I sort of gave that up like 10, 15 years ago. So I was ashamed, but that meant I had a mentor. I called him that morning after all of that happened. And he has been part of this church as well. You might know him, Bob Phillips. And he said, Jelle, I don't know, he just knew what to say. And he said, Jelle, of course, it's a bad decision, it wasn't good. But he said, it might be that you're on the right track, because Satan is trying to stop you. And he will get you at your weaknesses. And he will try to tempt you. And that's what Satan will do. So maybe when life is tough and things are happening, Satan wants to bring you down, and there will be opposition, and even within the church. So maybe you're in a place right now, and that's maybe the last thing I will say, that you are in a place of struggle, and you're at the place of giving up, you know, and that's very tough, and you feel the only one, and you feel like people are stabbing you in the back, and you've good intentions, but you feel like people don't see what you're doing and how you want to serve God. People take it the wrong way. Well, one thing, Jesus endured all of that, right? He was put ashamed for all of that. So we have one who is our example we can look up to. He endured all of those persecution, and he was put aside like the most bad person, even though he loved everybody and he died for us. We know that. But God sees you. God knows what you're going through, and you will be rewarded one day for those struggles. And it's like the encouragement to keep on going and find people who can encourage you and can pray for you. But God sees what you're going through, and you can come to Him and allow Him to minister to you. Yes, too much to say. Yes, let me just finish with this with these questions, and I think that's we can round it off with that. Well, the first question is have you signed up? I don't know everybody here. Have you signed up in the sense of have you had a moment in your life where you said yes to Jesus, you know, and said, I want to have you in my life? And if not, why not? It can be fear. I don't know what you're afraid of, but maybe of the unknown. It can be unbelief, what Jesus is saying, you know, I will help you with your unbelief. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to know it all. And the fear part is also, it's a step of faith. It's just going for it and trying it. You don't need to be perfect to make that decision. I have a friend, and he sometimes says, Jelle, I have this sort of restlessness in my life sometimes, but generally I'm very content with how everything is. And it's like, why would I need God? Because I'm also happy like you. Like, I'm just happy. And I'm saying, and that's the thing. As you're not a Christian, when you're not a Christian, it's not that you cannot be happy. And you cannot be okay and somehow content. But I always give this example of this of a bird. You know, a bird can just walk the earth and be quite happy, mm-hmm. right? Going around, and you see, we have a new nest of pigeons, and the little ones, they can't fly yet. But they're happily walking around, sitting along, eating some food. They're okay. They're very okay. But they're not doing what they're made to be. You know, they've not found their purpose. And I think the moment a bird starts flying, it realizes, oh, wow, there is so much more. And that's how it is for me with the Christian faith. The moment you take that step and you actually start flying, you realize, okay, the life without was not that bad, but the life with God, now I know what I'm made for. I'm created for in relationship to be in relationship with Him, you know, to have a purpose. And that's not just temporarily get out of your life what you want to get out of it. It's about focusing your eyes on God and knowing that there is an eternal life with Him, right? And being in relationship with Him. So for those who've not signed up, I would challenge you, take on that adventure. Just ask God, God, show me that you are here. The second question is, are you participating? This, have you maybe checked out along the way? Or maybe I have to say, are you still participating? And otherwise, the challenge would be to keep participating again. To say, you know what, this part of my life, I want to participate, give to God as well. And the third one is, are you still participating to win? Like Paul said, giving everything, submitting his life. You know, giving up all those rights, giving your career plans, your life, your future to Him, your family, denying anything you want to do, maybe yourself, submitting it all to go for that first prize, to train and sleep and be with Him on purpose, to schedule it and to discipline yourself, and to go for that first prize, like the top athletes. They would only go for that first prize to get gold. So they give it all, right? And not to set for 80% and to say, you know what, I did my part, but to go for it and know that there is way more. Up to the last breath you're breathing, God wants you to grow and to be more like Him, to pursue His holiness. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.